All right, turn to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28, going to get some scriptures. Casey is going to read Exodus 28, 1 through 4. Brian, Colossians 1, 1. Devin, 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. Mark, Numbers 26, 21. Colby, Matthew 22, 14. Matt, Exodus 28, 2. And this Matt, 1 Timothy 4, 15. I'm going to begin today. I don't know if we'll do it every week, but we're going to be looking at Exodus 28 and 29 primarily. And so I'm encouraging you to read and study in your own time. What Exodus 28 through 30 are God giving instructions for the priests. And he gives, obviously, it's symbolic, a lot of things that are involved. So what I want you to get the picture of is there were things that had to happen for them to enter into the priesthood. So in other words, Exodus 28 and 29 primarily are preparation for ministry. And so we're going to go, and I encourage you in your own time, there's whole kinds of things about what kind of clothes they're going to wear, what kind of actions they have to take in order to ultimately function in ministry as God intended. So that's a very good picture of discipleship then, is that if God has something for your life, the plan comes first, but then he says there are things that you have to do to cooperate with the plan so that ultimately you wind up where God wants you to be. So the series, and who knows how long it'll take, that'll be our series, is being prepared for ministry. That's the series. Today I want to look, this kind of foundational launching passage, and that's verse 1 through 4, and we're going to talk about the distinction of ministry. Exodus 28, 1 through 4.
Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as a priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for the beauty. So you shall speak to all whom are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as a priest.
Okay, distinction of ministry. Let's begin. The first thought out of this passage is that ministry is the choice of God. And that's what this passage is showing. Ministry is not simply a personal preference. There are wrong views of ministry about this. You know, why did he become a pastor? Well, he needed a job. Or he always wanted to be. Or, you know what? Hey, you got a big mouth. You should be a pastor. Excellent. You can talk a lot. So when I lived in South Africa, there were so many churches and little, everybody was a pastor. And so the people would say, he's a SAP. What's a SAP? He's a self-appointed pastor. And that's exactly right. And often that was just money. They understood that they could make money if they became a pastor. So our text shows us the correct view, and that is ministry is God's choice. It's not a human choice. It's God's choice. And verse 1 says, take Aaron your brother, his sons, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister as priest, and then his sons, and it names his sons. So that is a choice that God makes. He didn't go, and then, how many of you would like to be priests? Put up your hand. How many of you got big mouths or whatever qualification they felt. Colossians 1, verse 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother.
Okay, this is something that Paul repeats in numbers of his epistles. He says, I am an apostle by the will of God. I didn't get here because I chose it or because someone picked me. By the will of God. That is a crucial. The reason why that's important is that if you understand that God is the one who chooses you for ministry, number one, that gives you confidence. Because often there are, you know, there of course are people that are filled with pride and think that they're special when they're really not. But many people are actually, they recognize that God wants them to do something they don't feel qualified to do. That's daunting to, whether that's to speak in front of people or to pioneer or anything. When we see things that we lack in our lives, that can fill you with fear or a lack of confidence. But if God is the one who is calling us to do it, if he tells us to do it, that means if it's his plan, it's his business to give us the power to do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24.
He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it.
Okay, the one who calls you, what does it say here? It doesn't say anything about you. It doesn't say, and you are so special. He says, he calls, so therefore, he can be relied upon to do it or to help you to do the job. So that gives us confidence. That's very important that you have confidence in hard times. Because I'm going to take people ask about ministry and what can you say about ministry is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. It's mind-bendingly difficult at times. You can get very discouraged at problems you face, at lack of results. And then, of course, part of ministry, if you want everybody in the world to like you and say nice things about you, don't go in the ministry. That's just not going to happen. There's criticism. There's attacks that come, and there are times when you, in the middle of problems or criticism or assaults, you think, why am I doing this? You know, I had a job. I didn't ask for these problems, but you understand, no, God is the one who told me to do this. So that is why, as a disciple, if you want to do the will of God, you need to ask God to make calling clear. That can come in different ways. You don't have to have your calling exactly like mine. That's why the Bible shows us numbers. You read any of the men of God that are used, they were called in different ways, an impression, a word from God. It doesn't matter. But the point is, it would help you if you had something that is clear. And if you want to, if you've been saved 50 years and you say, I still don't know, I'm dubious. Because someone who wants to know, God can make his will clear. The other thing that happens is if ministry is if it's God's choice, that actually gives other people confidence. When they see that, when they see evidence that God is the one who chose you, that God is doing this, you know, what you're talking about in pastoring, you're asking people to line their lives up with your words. With your life in many ways. And so people are willing to do that if they recognize, how did they get here? How are they doing this? It's God. And if God chose and if God places, then God is going to help. That means it's not just going to help them. It's going to help everybody. So ministry is the choice of God. Second thing we see in our scripture is that character determines destiny. So, God speaks in the Bible in many different ways. We call this the will of God. What does God will, which really you're talking about plans. What does God plan or intend? Very important that you understand this. Because God plans something, that doesn't mean that 100% without fail, it will happen no matter what. Okay? And so, how we know this is, our scripture speaks about the choice of God, and then it lists two men who failed to go on in their destiny, and their names are Nadab and Abihu. And the problem was their character, what they were on the inside, what kind of men they were, didn't match their calling. They had a great calling from God to be a priest and help lead in an entire nation to bless millions of people. Problem is their character never somehow lined up with that. Numbers 26, 61.
And Nadab and Abihu died when they offered profane fire before the Lord.
Okay, profane fire, strange fire. So God had told them a certain way that things were to be done by offering profane or strange. They didn't think that what God told them was important. That's the most basic way to look at that. Some, it's and immediately afterwards, after they die, God gives a command about priests getting drunk. So perhaps they were also involved in sin. That's a possibility. Doesn't make it exactly clear. So, but this is what's very clear. What you are on the inside is much more important than what you have going on the outside. Right? What we do is guys go like, but I can't see. I'm not good at speaking. You know, I'm not good at math or any other thing that you think that is involved in ministry. And so, but those are things that are outside. In God's word, what the most important factor in your life is what you are on the inside. Because I've seen many men that they are multi-talented, can sing like angels. They got, but the problem is their character is one that is not in line with the will of God. 1 Timothy 3 gives qualifications for ministry. If you want to be a pastor, it lists them. Off the top of my head, I'm pulling this out of the air. I think there's 11 or 16 qualifications. Almost all of them are character-based. It doesn't say, off the top of my head, the one that is not character-based is you have to have the ability to teach. But everything else, it matters. Your reputation, how you treat people, your merit, all of these flow from what is the inside. That is what we call character. Character is who you are when no one sees. If you're with everybody else and you're saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you're looking holy and angelic, that's great, but that's not the true you. The true you is when no one is looking. That's character. What a man is in the dark is D.L. Moody said, that's your character. And so character is the most powerful determining factor in destiny. So think about this. Lack of character prevents destiny. So our scripture shows this. God plans. I want Nadab and Abihu to minister as priests. That's the plan of God. But the problem is they, in their character, prevented what God is doing. Matthew 22:14.
For many are called, but few are chosen.
For many are called, but few are chosen. That scripture tells us about the intention. God actually calls lots of people to do his will, but the Bible says few actually wind up being chosen or wind up doing what God wanted them to do. And why? I mean, that can be some they will not be honest, some they will not discipline themselves, some they will not repent of sins, and you can go on and on and on, laziness, etc., etc. So, lack of character prevents destiny. Second thing, lack of character can derail destiny. The Old Testament is filled with radical pictures. Nadab and Abihu died, right? It's over. So, fortunately, in New Testament times, it's a good thing that that God didn't work like that for people who lack character today, or we might have a whole bunch of dead bodies, right? Our funeral services be full here. So, the issue is when you have good character. So these are men; they actually did get into the ministry, but then they derailed or destroyed themselves. That's the issue. Good character. If you're a man who is righteous, if you do what is right, That doesn't earn anointing. That doesn't earn ministry. God never looks and says, you are so holy. You are such a good man. By golly, you need to be a pastor. It does not earn position. It does not earn ministry. It does not earn anointing. What good character does is protect. That's what it does. If you have good character, you can protect the holy thing that God has placed into your life and make sure that you don't destroy it. So that's our scripture. Character determines destiny. Third thought, let's talk about the distinction of ministry. Most of chapter 28 deals with the distinct clothing worn by the priests. Exodus 28:2.
And you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory.
Okay. And then all of chapter 28, and we're going to look into this. There were things they wore on their head. There was a type of clothing that they wore in robes. There was a breastplate, kind of a chest piece thing they put over their clothing. All kinds of, we're going to look into the little details. They're symbolic. And fortunately, we don't have to wear jeweled clothing to church. So the point of this, if you study this, if I was to come into church today wearing bright colored clothing covered in jewels, you would think that Michael Jackson came back. No. The point is, I would definitely stand out. Would I not? For good or for bad? You go like, wow. I often tease the little girls in church. They're wearing some shiny dress or shiny shoes. And my joke to them is, do you think Pastor Greg should wear that? I should have shoes like that when I preach. I should have. So I would definitely stand out. And that was the point. So we'll look into all the symbolism that is involved. But here's the point. If you are called, God is saying, you can't look like or act like everybody else. That's the point. Sometimes I deal with people and I'm challenging them about what they're doing, and their response is, but somebody else is doing it. That's not the point. The point is, you cannot, these priests, no one else look like Aaron and his sons. So there needs to be something distinct about you. If you are called and you are exactly like everybody else, then something's wrong. You're missing the point somehow. Two distinctions that we're going to look at, and this is just kind of foundational and launching. We'll go into more detail in later lessons. So the first distinction is the distinction of glory. Our verse says, you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory. Why are you going to wear these clothes? For glory. I've taught many times that the word glory is a word that in one sense it means to shine, but it has the idea of weight. In the Hebrew, kabod, and of course I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but it is the idea of weight. And so someone that has weight is someone that has authority. If you've ever seen in a grocery store, of course this would never happen in your house. You ever seen parents with their kids like, you know, Susie, you need to stop that. Susie, don't make me tell you one more time. Susie. And by the time you're finished doing that 29 times, people are lining up in the grocery store like, let me deal with Susie, right? Because clearly your words are just blah, 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 blah. They're not, your words carry no weight. So that's kind of a poor example. When a judge speaks, his word carries weight. It's not just an opinion. That's the idea. So in this scripture, it is saying a called man should have a weight to his life, or an authority. There should be something about him that other people would want to listen, would want to follow. That can be in so many different ways. There are guys through the years that they want to pastor, but they're like the class clown. I love humor. I make jokes. I love to laugh. But there are guys that they're just goobers, and all the time they're just total jokers. I'm challenging. Listen, you want to be a man of God, you know, the goober needs to die. You can't be a goober and expect people to follow you. There's a weight, and I'm not talking about faking that no, you speak like James Earl Jones, and, you know, because I am a man of God. But this is a really, this is actually, it's kind of a seriousness is what I'm talking about. The second distinction is beauty. And you'll make holy garments for glory and for beauty, it says. And of course, beauty is attractive. That is the point. Someone who is beautiful, of course, they attract attention. This is now not talking about physical beauty. The good news, you can be ugly as a mud fence and still minister for God. And some of you can say amen. But what this is saying is that if you're going to minister, there should be an attractiveness about your life. There should be something about you that causes other people to want to follow you or to want to listen to you. So I think both of those elements really, and this is, of course, just foundational. We're hitting it in passing. But I think glory and beauty, or authority and attractiveness, we could say, those flow out of a seriousness and a dedication to the call. If you know, as I said, some of you come to serious men because you know God hasn't really called you yet, but you think that's a possibility. That's fine. You need to ask God. You need to ask God to show you. Some of you know what God wants you to do. Therefore, you should absolutely dedicate your entire life to your calling. Calling should not be one out of 29 things that you do in life. It should absolutely dominate everything you do, every decision, your attention, your time, your energies, your money should all be aimed at calling. 1 Timothy 4:15. Okay, this is an interesting scripture. This, of course, is talking now about the Word of God. And he says, be diligent about these matters, which is, of course, the Word of God that he's just been talking about. And then he says these interesting words, if you will give yourself entirely to them, what will happen? Everyone will see your progress. I think that is a New Testament way of saying what I just taught you about, which is authority and attractiveness, weight or glory and beauty, that flows out of someone who is sold out for the will of God. There are guys who play at it. They get inspired from time to time in a conference, discipleship, serious men's class. Yeah, I need to do the will of God. And they come to prayer a couple times, and occasionally they outreach, and once in a while they study. And, God doesn't seem to be doing much in their life because you're just playing. If you're going to do the will of God, it's going to cost you everything. You're aiming your life. When I realized that I was called, God spoke to me and I was called, everything changed. Absolutely everything in my life changed. There were things that I never went back to. There were things that I let go. My relationships changed. Everybody else is doing certain things. Like, no, I'm giving myself to the ministry and the call of God. So the point of that is authority and attractiveness is not something that you can manufacture. You cannot say, today I will have weight. I will speak words, and everybody goes, I will have an attractiveness that you will follow me today. No, it actually comes out of selling out for the call. When you make up your mind, it's a natural result. When someone who is giving themselves to preaching, it becomes evident. That is the point. Is as I dedicated. I've been asked this question in the last month or so, in various versions, and were there times when you recognized that things had changed in you? And I think, yeah, one of those is the Word of God. There was a point in time I began to realize that my preaching was having much more impact than it used to, even though it wasn't like I was saying things I had never said before, but now there was a weight to it. People were listening. Why? Because I was absolutely dedicating myself to the Word of God. That became my number one priority in life. So therefore, that's the point, ministry. If you play at calling, you're never going to have that. People are not going to want to follow you. That's the miracle dimension of God. My pastor, I wanted to be like my pastor. Right? I have spiritual sons that want to be like me. I didn't tell them, I want you to be just like me. That's not something I can demand. There's something about if I give myself to the call of God, there are others who are going to want, they're going to want it too. And that's true for you. Whatever you do in life, if you give yourself completely, there's going to be a distinction. You'll stand out. That is why ministry is not about you telling me how wonderful and ready you are. Ministry, it becomes apparent. Your progress will be evident to all. You can't hide someone who is sold out for God. And you certainly can't hold up someone who is not. It will never work. So that is our first lesson, the distinction of ministry. Okay, questions that may bring up on this.
Pastor, just thinking about, you're saying you got to dedicate your life. How do you find a balance? I mean, like, I don't want to just quit my job. Our job is just quite insane. Maybe COVID is like, I literally feel like sometimes I'm outside of work trying to juggle everything. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
Not that I'm like, not dedicated to the call of God, but it's just how do I find that balance?
Yep.
My work is not my life.
Yeah, yeah. So in the if we're talking about in overall, in the overall, you have to, of course, that's part of the training of discipleship is learning how to juggle multiple things at the same time. So that's a life skill. That's a discipleship skill. And then, of course, in work, you have to decide is that temporary and that will change at a point soon in time, or this is just the way it is. So that's part of every man with his job has to decide what it is you want to do in life. You have to work, but of course, part of calling is God. You have to supply a job so that I can do the will of God. Doesn't make sense. Yes, I have a job and I'm making great money, but now I can't pursue the will of God. That doesn't make sense. So it is part of, I think that's a part of a dominion issue. So in some men, it is a matter of priorities. I will not work Sundays or I will not work, you know, that's a matter of making it a priority. For some men, it is a matter of praying and breaking through. That there either be a change in my hours or conditions, or that God would supply something else. So that's something you gotta choose. And there's not one right answer for every man. So in general, if it's normal circumstances with a normal job, it's just a matter of learning. That's part of the skill is learning how do you keep the call of God, your marriage, your family, all working successfully at the same time. That's a skill. That's a grace. That's something that takes dedication. But if it's the job that's interfering, then something has to ultimately change one way or another. That's part of ministry. Somebody else. The answer, however, is not I quit and be unemployed and expect everybody else to give you money. else? Thinking. Yep.
What are the best ways that you are working your regular job, but you want to work towards your calling at the same time? What is the practical way day to day to do that besides praying and reading your Bible?
Well, you're talking ministry in general. I think, number one is when I, if you want to be a man of God, if you want to preach, you have to study. That's the, my life first changed when I started reading my Bible every day. Secondly, as a disciple, for my graduation from high school, instead of asking for, a car or some large thing, I wanted a preaching library. And I began to get up early in the morning to study God's Word. So that's the point. I studied Bible doctrines. I learned how to study, started working on sermons. That is a major part. Secondly, of course, is working with people. If you want to be a disciple, discipleship can only be learned in evangelism and working with people. I don't care how much you know, you have Bible knowledge, you know tense Greek verbs, but you don't have skills in working with people, you don't help working with people, you're not involved in evangelism, it's just not going to work. So those are practical areas that you can begin to develop. So those are marking points. I started studying. Secondly, my wife and I made a commitment. We are going to work with people. How can we help? With other people's new converts, people that get saved at the altar, and personally evangelizing and witnessing. And so those things put together, then you begin to grow and develop as God speaks to you about individual issues. But everybody can do that, right? You may have a character issue that may be totally different than the person next to you, but everybody should be studying, working with people, evangelizing, being fruitful. Everybody can do that. Yeah? Anybody else?
Is having weight, or what you're speaking of, glory, is that more of a experience as well of timing, like time or faithfulness over time, but also experience?
It can be. We're talking about different levels of weight, right? Okay. I mean, obviously, you have the weight that you need in life. That's the first thing. God's not going to give you... when I was first a disciple, I didn't have the weight to lead the fellowship, right? Because I didn't need it. So it is something that you can have dimensions. That's the whole point of the glory. It's actually a Bible picture. There were people that had different levels of closeness to Jesus. There were different levels of closeness on the glory on the mountain, right? You don't come past the mountain here. Joshua can come so far. Only Moses can come. So there's different levels and levels of weight or glory in your life. So, but my point is, someone who gives themselves completely to God, it becomes evident. Other people can see it. Other people know it in time. Right?
Gotcha.
So, but on whatever level you need it right now, that's the key. Then you'll step up. You'll need more. You'll need something else. All kinds of things. Yep.
So then, is it something that? Wait, is it something you should contend for and ask God for, or is it something that will just come in time?
Well, I think that you can ask God for it because it also is connected in some ways with anointing, which is supernatural effectiveness in your words. But you can't ask God for it if you're not wholly dedicated to the call. It won't work. God, please give, that's like a vending machine. I want powerful nutrition. I'm going to get it from a coin-operated vending machine instead of cooking it. It's just, nah, that's not going to work. You're going to be a Twinkie pastor. So that's just not going to work. Twinkie disciple. So, yeah. So you, but I go hand in hand. When you're dedicated to the call, you can ask God for anointing or a dimension of glory. Yes. Sure, that's yep. That, well, that can be, yeah. I think it's a willingness in whatever in life we're willing to do whatever God wants us to do. So everybody has levels of obedience. So obedience never changes. It just gets more important, right? If God speaks something to you, it will have impact on you probably and your family right now. So you move up, it's just kind of, you affect more people. I said in Sunday school last week, that's why I take incredibly serious the fact that I make decisions that affect people's lives, for good or bad, right? I allow opportunities for ministry that'll change their life forever. If they go into it, I have to discipline people. That changes their life. I take that very serious. It's not a light thing to me. So the point is that as you move into different levels, I don't come to a point where I assume that I've arrived. I've got the obedience thing down. You know, so that can be in different ways that God may want you to do something else. In life, you know, a guy who is pastoring, God could call them to pioneer, to go overseas, that kind of thing. Or that God could be pushing you into areas you're not comfortable with, praying for the sick, gifts of the Spirit, you know, different ways. So, yeah, we all have to always be asking God, speak to us. And I think evaluation is helpful. It can be helpful. But then again, have you ever been... You've been assessing yourself and you think, I'm doing pretty good. And then you hear a sermon, you go, man, I'm dead. Right? So that's kind of the word of God, isn't it? So, as well. So all put together. You put it all together. You assess yourself, then let God work you over, and then you cooperate. It'll help.
So you talked about character qualities. As a pastor, when you're working with guys, how do you start to assess someone's character qualities? So that you're comfortable with, hey, yeah, they can handle ministry.
Well, discipleship reveals. That's the beauty of discipleship. If that's why ministry is not schooling based, because if it was just passing tests and knowledge, you could be a wife beating serial killer, and we would, you know, but he passed the test. He's ready. Ministry reveals. That's the beauty. You should get into ministry. You get into ministry, and there's a guy in. He's obnoxious, and you start, all kinds of things come out in you. I thought I was filled with love, and now I want to punch this guy in the nose. But that's good. Ministry did that. That's great. Right? Yeah, yes, Pastor. Yeah, I want to be involved. But dude, you didn't show up. What? So you just revealed yourself, right? That's ministry reveals. And so it's a natural course of life. It's not like I don't have to investigate people's lives. God is the one who brings it to the surface because it's his business. To do that, right? So, but I mean, overall, the number one thing is faithfulness. I want to be a man of God. You're not faithful. You don't come. I can't count on the fact that you'll be here to church, to prayer, to outreach. Those are most basic things. So I would never choose someone. If you're not faithful, I can't choose you. You can't be used if you're not faithful. That's the absolute, the same commit to faithful men. So you can be faithful and have lots of problems. And again, I stress, when I talk about character, I'm not talking about perfection. That's why the whole Bible is encouraging. There were some people there that had some real issues. And our church, we got people with real issues. We have people in ministry with real issues. So God can help people still. But, then of course you get into, will you derail yourself over time, et cetera, et cetera. So these are things that when you work with people, it becomes clear what they are over time. And then the hidden things, there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. It's God's business to bring things to light. Yep. Somebody else. Okay, so I want you to, in your own time, as I say, I'm not going to do it every week, but we'll kind of amble through this over some months. So chapter 28 then talks about all of the different issues that are involved. I want you to study that for yourself. Write down some thoughts. What does that mean for me? Obviously, God doesn't want me to wear jewelry, jeweled clothing to a church. So what is that? What's the point of this? I want you to search for yourself, and then we'll come to some conclusions together. That's chapter 28 is the clothing primarily. Chapter 29 is then the practical actions that were taken on the day that they were ordained. And so you look at that in your own time. Study that. That'll give you something to aim at. And chew over it, pray over it, see what you can come up with. Okay?